Christmas Carol. That immortal tale by Charles Dickens, starring Lionel Barrymore. And presented by your Capehart dealer for the enjoyment of you and your family on this Christmas Day. Year after year, Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol helps us to cherish the real Yuletide feeling of goodwill and joy in helping the other fellow. Throughout the nation this afternoon, Capehart dealers bring you the story in that spirit. And for them, I welcome Mr. Lionel Barrymore to his 15th year in the role of Ebenezer Scrooge. Welcome, Lionel.
Greetings to you, Gene Baker. And thanks to all the Capehart dealers for letting me indulge in one of my most delightful Christmas habits.
And now that there will be no interruptions to our story, a word first from our sponsor. Hearing Lionel Barrymore in Dickens' Christmas Carol has become a traditional part of Christmas in millions of homes throughout the land. For the name Barrymore is world famous for fine acting, the name Dickens for fine literature. And in millions of homes, too, the name Capehart is world famous for fine reproduction of sound and picture. Traditionally, Capehart stands for the very finest in radio and phonograph combination instruments and television receivers, all in cabinets of superb craftsmanship and magnificent styling. The Capehart Farnsworth Corporation is an associate of the International Telephone and Telegraph Corporation. The extensive technical facilities and scientific research of these two great organizations have provided leadership in the field of electronics for a generation. The result? Exclusive features for better reception that can be found only in radio phonograph and television receivers bearing the famous Capehart name. Whether your heart is set on television or television combined with phonograph radio or phonograph radio alone, you will be delighted to find the Capehart moderately priced, priced in line with today's budgets. Visit your Capehart dealer and see how easily you can become the proud owner of a new Capehart television receiver or a beautiful Capehart phonograph radio. This is the story that Charles Dickens wrote of a Christmas in England over 100 years ago. And yet, it could just as easily have happened anywhere today. It starts like this. Marley was dead to begin with. Jacob Marley died just 7 years ago tonight. Did Ebenezer Scrooge know Marley was dead? Of course he did. Scrooge and Marley were partners for I don't know how many years. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone with Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, covetous old sinner. Once upon a time, of all the good days of the year, on Christmas Eve, old Ebenezer Scrooge sat busy in his grim, cheerless counting house, keeping a sharp eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who was working on a ledger in his dismal and cold little cell beyond.
Hey, you there! Bob Cratchit! What are you doing in there?
I was only putting your coal on the fire, Mr. Scrooge.
You put that coal back into the scuttle. A fire, indeed. If you use coal at this rate, you and I will soon be parting company.
I'm sorry, sir. My fingers were getting a little stiff with the cold.
Well, then put on your mittens. Get out your ledger immediately.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day.
Cratchit?
Yes, sir.
What's that infernal caterwauling?
It's just a happy little lad singing a Christmas carol outside your window,
sir. I'll soon put a stop to that. Hey! Hey! You there!
Yes, sir?
Get away from my window at once.
But it's Christmas Eve, sir, and I was singing a Christmas carol.
Christmas carol? Be gone, do you hear me? Be gone.
Yes, sir. A Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Humbug. Why, if I had my way...
Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Fred.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Well, come then. What reason have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Ah, humbug.
Oh, don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes around with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Uncle.
Hey, he should. Now, nephew, you keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, then, let me leave it alone. Much good may it do you. Much good it ever has done you.
Well, Uncle, there are many things from which I might have derived good by which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. But it's a good time. A kind, forgiving, charitable time. And therefore, I say, God bless Christmas.
And so say I, Mr. Fred.
Catch it? One more sound out of you and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
But, Uncle...
As for you, nephew, good afternoon.
Oh, I am sorry with all my heart to find you so bitter at this happy season.
Good afternoon.
Well, anyway, a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon!
Merry Christmas to you, Bob. To your family, and especially Tiny Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Fred. The same to you, sir.
Another fool. My clerk with 15 bob a week. A wife and a family talking about a Merry Christmas. Why...
Merry Christmas, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley has been dead for 7 years. I'm Ebenezer Scrooge. What can I do for you?
Well, at this festive season of the year, a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth.
Uh-huh.
What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time. I can't afford to make idle people merry.
Oh, but many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir.
Are there no prisons or workhouses?
There are plenty, sir.
I help to support these establishments. They cost me enough. And those who are badly off can go there.
Oh, but many can't go there, and many would rather die.
Ooh, well, if they'd rather die, they'd better go and do it. And decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon.
But, sir,
Good afternoon. Some more of that Christmas humbug. Cratchit?
Yes, sir.
You'll want all day off tomorrow, I suppose.
If it's convenient, sir.
It's not convenient. And it's not fair, paying wages for no work.
But Christmas comes just once a year, sir.
Yes. A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. Merry Christmas, sir. Merry Christmas.
The moment the door was closed, Bob Cratchit ran home as hard as he could to play Christmas games with his loving family. On the other hand, Scrooge went home in anticipation of spending the evening checking up on his banker's book. He had no light to guide him on the pathway leading to his house, but darkness is cheap, so Scrooge liked it. However, it is an unaccountable fact that when Scrooge reached his door, he saw in the knocker, not a knocker, but...
Marley. Jacob Marley's face. Ah, rubbish. It's impossible that I could see Marley's face in the door knocker. Why, Marley's been dead 7 years. Oh, yes. So I need a good night's rest. Marley. Humbug.
Despite what he called humbug, Scrooge checked his rooms carefully.
Yes, nobody under the table. Nobody under the bed. And nobody in the closet.
Quite satisfied, he closed his door and locked himself in. He sat down before the small fire in his grate. And as he was reaching for a dish of gruel, suddenly...
Marley. Marley again. His face there in the fire. But Marley's dead. This is nonsense.
Oh.
Was somebody in the other room? It's impossible. The door's locked. Won't.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ghost? What do you want with me? Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Well, who were you then? You're mighty particular for a ghost.
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
No, Marley. No. You speak with Marley's voice, but... this is unbelievable.
You don't believe in me?
I do not.
Why do you doubt your senses, Ebenezer?
Oh, because a little thing affects him. A slight disorder of the stomach makes him cheat. You may be an undigested bit of beef, blot of mustard, or crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more gravy than grave about you, whatever you are. Do you see this toothpick?
I do.
But you're not looking at it.
I see it notwithstanding.
Well, I but to swallow this and for the rest of my days be persecuted by a legion of goblins. Humbug, I tell you. Don't do that. Mercy. Mercy, dreadful apparition. Why do you trouble me?
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do, Jacob. You're a ghost, and I believe. You wear chains, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life.
Huh?
Is its pattern strange to you, Ebenezer?
Why, your chains are made of cash boxes and keys and ledgers. Bank books.
Would you know the weight and length of the strong chain you are building yourself, Ebenezer? It was full as heavy as this 7 Christmas Eves ago when I died. You have labored on it since. Yours is indeed a ponderous chain.
Oh, don't, Jacob, don't. Please, speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give. A very little more time is all that is permitted to me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere.
You've been traveling all this time? 7 years dead, and you've been traveling all this time?
7 years, Ebenezer. 7 years of remorse. Oh, foolish mortal that I was.
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Of business. Mankind should have been my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence. All should have been my business, as they should be yours, Ebenezer. Yes. Now, hear me, for my time is nearly gone.
I will, Jacob, I will, but don't be too hard on me.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate.
Thank you, Jacob, thank you. You always were a good friend of mine. Go on.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits. Huh? Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls 1. The second on the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. My time has come. I must go now.
Jacob. Marley, where are you? Jacob! Said the first spirit will come when the bell tolls 1. Bah! Rubbish. Nothing but humbug. No. I mustn't say that. He's liable to come back. I'd better go to bed.
Scrooge went to bed, but being a cautious man, he left himself fully clothed. As the clock struck 1, Scrooge awoke from a sound sleep.
1 o'clock. The hour itself and nothing else. I knew it was humbug.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Tom Past?
No, your past.
What brings you here to see me?
Your welfare. Take heed to me. Rise and walk with me here, through this window.
Through the window? But I'm mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, follow me. Follow me. Look, here is a very important part of your past, Ebenezer. Look here in this little room. There you are, with a fair young girl by your side.
Oh, no, 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 Spirit, no. Spare me this. I don't wish to see this.
It is not a question of what you wish, Ebenezer. See yourself as you were then, a man in the prime of life. But your face had already begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Your eyes were greedy, miserly.
No, 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 please, I beg of you.
The young maiden knows that you have changed. See, there are tears in her eyes as she speaks.
Another idol has displaced me in your heart, Ebenezer. And if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, I have no just cause to grieve.
But, Belle, you talk nonsense. What idol has displaced you?
Gold. A golden idol.
But I treasure gold because there is nothing on which the world is so hard as poverty.
You fear the world too much, Ebenezer. Oh, I have seen your noble aspirations fall off one by one until now the master passion, gold, engrosses you.
What then? Even if I have grown so much wiser, what then? My affections toward you have not changed.
No, Ebenezer. Our engagement was made when you were another man. But I am still the same as I was. That which promised happiness when we were one in heart is fraught with misery now that we are two. Goodbye, Ebenezer.
But, Belle, I...
Goodbye, Ebenezer.
Alice, why do you delight in torturing me so?
This is but one of the shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are, do not blame me.
Now,
shall
no.
I show you more?
Oh, no, no, no. Haunt me no more.
Without knowing how or why, Scrooge suddenly found himself in his own bed again, and he promptly fell into a heavy, exhausted sleep. He'd hardly done so, or so he thought, when again the clock struck one.
What spirit are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas present.
Present?
Yes. Come with me, Ebenezer Scrooge. Touch my robe.
Spirit, where have you brought me? Who lives in this miserable dwelling?
Miserable, you call it. Yet there is great happiness within. Behold, Ebenezer, this is the home of your poor clerk, Bob Cratchit. See how happily his wife prepares the table for their Christmas dinner. Listen, Ebenezer Scrooge, and watch.
Here's Martha, Mother.
Hello, Martha. Bless your heart, dear. You're home late from work. Sit down before the fire and warm yourself.
But where's Father?
He's been to church with Tiny Tim. They'll be along directly.
How is Tiny Tim, Mother? Any better at all?
Sometimes I think he is. And sometimes I think, oh, dear God, if anything should happen to Tiny Tim.
Here they come, Mother.
It's Father and Tiny and Tim.
Oh, here they are.
And Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And how did little Tim behave in church, Bob?
As good as gold and better.
I like church, Mother. I hope people saw me there.
Saw you there, dear? And why, Tim?
Well, because I'm lame, Mother. And if they saw my crutch, it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas who it was made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Bless you, my son. Well, we cannot possibly let such a luscious-looking goose go to waste, can we? So sit down, everyone.
Me first.
No, me.
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Quiet,
children, let us say grace.
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
Ah, no, kind spirit. Say he'll be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No.
Amen.
And now, my dears, a Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us, everyone. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Hear me. I can't bear to see Tiny Tim die.
Why not? If he died, it would decrease the surplus population.
No. I didn't mean
I that. I have shown you the present, Ebenezer Scrooge. Now await the future. Farewell.
The ghost of Christmas present vanished, and Scrooge waited fearfully for the ghost of Christmas future. As the last note of 12 died away...
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come? Spirit, answer me. Are you about to show me the shadows of the future? Ghost of the future, though you're silent, I fear you more than any specter I've seen. But since I hope to live to be another man from what I was, I'm prepared to bear you company and do it with a thankful heart. So lead on. On, lead on. It? Why have you brought me here again? Back to Bob Cratchit's home? Why is everyone so quiet? Why, they were so happy and cheerful before. Where's Tiny Tim? Spirit, speak to me. I beg you. Tell me what's wrong.
Mother, dear, please don't cry. Father will be home soon, and you mustn't let him see you crying.
You're right, Martha. Father's late tonight. He walks a little slower than he used to. And yet, I have known him to walk very fast indeed, with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder.
So have I, Mother.
But Tim was very light to carry, and his father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble.
Good evening, my dears.
Oh, you're late, Bob.
I'm sorry, my dear. I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done your heart good to see how sweet and green a place it is where Tiny Tim rests. I promised him we'd walk there on a Sunday.
Father, dear, don't grieve so.
It's God's will, Bob.
Oh, my son. Tiny Tim, I loved him so.
No, Spirit. That's cruel. Cruel. Tiny Tim mustn't die. But... can't you give me one ray of hope that Tiny Tim will live? Huh? Spirit, why don't you answer me? What are you pointing at? Oh, heaven, where are we? A churchyard. Overrun by grass and weeds. Desolate. A crumbling gravestone. Spirit, why do you point to that stone? What is it you want me to see? The name on the tombstone is Ebenezer Scrooge. No, Spirit, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not the man I once was. Why show me this if I'm past all hope? Huh? Spirit, tell me that I may yet change these shadows you've shown me by an altered life. I promise you I'll honor Christmas in my heart, and I'll try and keep it all the year. I'll not shut out the lessons I've learned from the past, the present, and the future. Oh, tell me.
Tell me I can sponge away the writing on this terrible stone and undo the suffering I've caused. Spirit, I beg of you. Spirit.
Why, I'm home again. This is my bed. My own bed. My own room.
And the sun. The sun is shining. Oh, what a beautiful day. I'm so happy, I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. Happy as an angel, merry as a schoolboy. A Merry Christmas to everybody. And a Happy New Year to all the world. Hello there. Hey, ooh, hello.
Noel, Noel, the angels did say, was the certain
boy. Point. Hey, boy.
Yes, sir?
What's today?
What's that, sir?
What day is it, my fine fella?
Today?
Yes.
Why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas Day. Then I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night.
How's that, sir?
Never mind, never you mind. Do you know the poulterer's in the next street at the corner?
I should hope I do, sir.
An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Say, do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little one, I mean the great big one.
You mean the one that's as big as me?
Ah, what a delightful boy. Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Yes, my buck, the big turkey.
It's hanging there now.
Is it? Well, go and buy it. And tell him to deliver it to Bob Cratchit and his family on Broad Street. And mind, they're not to know who paid for it. Oh, I'll show Bob Cratchit. Tiny Tim shall live and have the best of care, he shall. And then I'll raise Bob's salary, too. You hear?
Yes, sir.
Now hurry, lad. Hurry, hurry. If you make it in 5 minutes, I'll give you half a crown.
Yes, sir.
Look at him run. Look at him. Oh, a Merry Christmas to everyone. And a Happy New Year to all the world.
Before he does, may we, on behalf of the Capehart dealers from coast to coast, thank him for his fine performance and for taking time from his own holiday to give us all such joy and pleasure on this Christmas Day, 1949. Capehart's magnificent styling and rich mastercraft cabinet construction bring a new, satisfying, lifetime beauty to your home. Remember, Capehart and Capehart alone can give you the completely satisfying home entertainment you want. The world-famous Capehart tone reproduction and the new exclusive Capehart Polytron picture tube performance satisfy both your sense of sight and your sense of hearing. And they do it so well that there is no basis of comparison with any other television receiver at any price. This Christmas Day may have brought you an unexpected windfall. Perhaps at this very moment, you're wondering just how it can be spent to bring the most joy to you and your family. A Capehart is your answer. Visit your Capehart dealer for a thorough demonstration of Capehart television and Capehart phonograph radio. His supply of these coveted instruments may be limited, so see him as soon as possible. See and hear for yourself, and you'll agree that it's a distinction to own a Capehart. And now, here's Lionel Barrymore again.
Thank you, Gene Baker, thank you. You know, it's always seemed to me that the story of Ebenezer Scrooge held a moral for nations as well as for people. For if all the nations of the world will banish greed, cruelty, avarice, and selfishness, then truly it'll be a happy new year to all the world.
Amen to that, Lionel. And now a Merry Christmas from all of us. From our director-producer, Dick Mack, from our musical conductor-composer, Lynn Murray, and from our cast. Eric Snowden, Byron Kane, Joseph Kearns, Alec Harford, Sonny Barnett, Shirley Mitchell, Shepard Menken, Sylvia Sims, Jeffrey Silver, Mala Powers, and our narrator, Bill Johnston.
Yes, yes, and a Merry Christmas to all, and as Tiny Tim would say,
God bless us, everyone.